Hello and welcome to this chapter over life insurance policy provisions, options, and riders. So first I want to talk about policy riders. So it's important to note that riders are going to be add-ons to a base policy. They can add coverage or they can also delete coverage, either one. There is a cost to adding a rider onto a policy. So they're not free, they do cost money. So the first rider I want to talk about is called the waiver of premium rider. The waiver of premium rider says that if the insured were to become disabled, after 6 months of disability, the premiums could be waived on their policy for as long as they're disabled, and they would get reimbursed the premiums they paid during that six-month waiting period. So it's the waiver of premium rider if the insured were to become disabled. Now, your next one is very similar to the waiver of premium rider. It's called the payor benefit rider. It actually works the exact same way, but it's called payor benefit rider whenever there is third party ownership. So whenever the policy owner, the person that's taking out the policy, becomes disabled, then the premiums can be waived on the insured's policy for as long as that policy owner is disabled. Or if it happens to be a parent, premiums could be waived on the child's policy until the youngest child reaches age 21. So very important that for your test, anytime you have a question about a rider that waives premiums or you can forego making premium payments, they will always have waiver of premium and payor benefit to choose from. So for you to pick waiver of premium as the answer, it would have to be the insured who is disabled. For you to pick pay or benefit as the answer, it would have to be a third party, the policy owner who is disabled. And the way I've seen it on your test more oftentimes is parent or a grandparent or a business owner. So if you see any of those referenced in the question, then pay or benefit would be your answer. Next, we have a guaranteed insurability rider. And with the guaranteed insurability rider, it guarantees that you can add more coverage at future dates without proof of insurability. Now, they'll usually set some dates aside in the future, like marriage, birth of a child, things like that. Now, this rider usually expires by age 40. If you do have this rider on your policy and you decide to add coverage in the future, let's say 5 years later, the cost of that coverage at that point would be based on your attained age. How old are you today? Next, we have an accidental death rider. Now, the accidental death rider will usually pay some multiple of the face amount in case of an accidental death. It will usually state like double or triple indemnity, two or three times the face amount. Now, for the rider to pay, death must occur within 90 days of the accident. So for the rider to pay, death must occur within 90 days of the accident. If this rider is on a policy and the insured happens to die of an accidental death, let's say 5 months after the accident, then the rider would not pay because it is outside of the 90 days. It does not affect the life insurance piece. It only affects the rider. Next, we have the accidental death and dismemberment rider, which is similar to the AD&D rider, but it's going to state an amount that it would pay for an accidental death. That amount is called the principal sum of the AD&D rider. So it would pay that principal sum, whatever amount stated, for an accidental death. Now, for it to pay for an accidental death, death must occur within how long, do you think? Hopefully you say 90 days. So that 90 days for accidental death will be consistent throughout your test. It would also pay the principal sum if there is a double dismemberment or permanent blindness or permanent deafness. Then the insured would receive that principal sum. Next, there's the capital sum, which is a percentage of the principal sum, but that would only get paid for loss of one of something, like loss of sight in one eye, loss of hearing in one ear, loss of one limb. Okay, so it's only loss of one for the capital sum, and it's a percentage of the principal sum. Next, we have a term rider. A term rider is a way to add additional protection for a period of time to a permanent policy, but at a much lesser cost. So let me give you an example down here. Let's say you want a $100,000 permanent policy, but it's like $150 a month and you don't really have that money. Your agent says, well, how about if we do a $50,000 permanent policy? That's going to cut your cost in half, down to $75 a month. And then we could add a $50,000 term rider to that policy, say for the next 10 years, and that's only going to cost you $10 a month. So now, for a total of $85 a month, you can actually have $100,000 of protection. So it's just a term rider, it's just a way to add additional protection for a period of time at a much lesser cost. Next, we have the other insured rider. The other insured rider would provide coverage for a spouse or a newborn. This is also called a family term rider. Now, it would just be term coverage on that spouse or newborn, even if you had a permanent policy. The next rider is a children's term rider. Now, a children's term rider, what really makes it beneficial is it's one low cost to cover as many kids as you might have. So whether you had one kid or 10 kids, it's the same low cost. And it's usually a small amount of term insurance on each one of those children, usually like $10,000 or $15,000 of term insurance on them. The benefit of that is that the kids can convert to a permanent policy once they reach an attained age, like 18 or 21, without evidence of insurability. So that's really the key on this rider, is that they can convert without evidence of insurability. Another rider you might see on your test is called a change of insured rider. So this would be used in the case of like a key person policy. So if the original key person that was covered under the policy had quit and the employer had hired another key person, then they could just use the change of insured rider to cover that new key person. And then the last rider for right now is called a return of premium rider. Remember earlier, we talked about the return of premium rider, and we said the only time that you would ever pick it as an answer, or vice versa here, is when increasing term insurance is a part of it. But remember, once that rider is added to a policy, instead of it being level term, it becomes increasing term. All right, now let's switch gears and talk about policy provisions. So provisions are going to be a part of every policy. You do not have to ask for a provision. They are just there. Now, I will tell you that as you are learning your riders and your provisions, that you need to definitely get to bulleted definitions for each one of these. And so that's why everything I have done is condensed into more of a bulleted definition type. Because if I can get you to memorize these definitions, then it's a lot easier to identify what they're looking for in a question or an answer. So your first provision here is called the entire contract provision. The entire contract provision says the only things that can make up an insurance contract are the application and the policy. So those two things have to be there, the application and the policy. Then if any riders were added, or if it's been amended in any way by the insurer. Only those things can make up an insurance contract. It prevents the insurer from referencing any outside documents at a later date. Let's say you have to go to court over something. They can only refer to what's in the contract. So this provision is all about the documents in an insurance contract. Next is the insuring clause. Now, the insuring clause is the heart of the insurance policy. It states who the parties to the contract are, the amount of premium, the amount of coverage, And it also does state the insurer is promising to pay benefits. Part of the policy located on page one. Next is the right to examine. This is the free look provision. Allows the policy owner 10 days from receipt of a policy to look it over. And if they are not satisfied for any reason, they can return it for a full refund. You do need to know when the 10-day free look period begins. And just so you know, it begins whenever they get the policy in their grubby little hands. Grubby little hands. That will begin the 10-day free look period. Now, older people get a longer free look. There's a 30-day free look, and it will be specific to Medicare supplement policies and long-term care policies, which we talk about in a later video. Next provision is the consideration provision. We learned earlier the word consideration means something of value each party promises to the other. For the insured, their consideration would be the answers on the application plus their payment of premium. For the insurer, their consideration would be promising to pay in the event of loss. So consideration, something of value. Next, you have the owner's rights provision. The owner has all of the rights in a policy, such as paying the premium, making changes to a policy, and naming a beneficiary. Now, the owner may give up some rights in the policy if the beneficiary is set up as irrevocable. If the beneficiary is set up as irrevocable, that means changes can only be made with the written permission of the beneficiary, which means the owner will have given up some rights in the policy. As far as your beneficiary designations, the succession, primary beneficiary would be first in line for a death benefit. And the way they could be set up is either revocable, which means the owner maintains all rights and can make changes without their permission, or irrevocable, changes can only be made with the written permission of the beneficiary, which means the owner had given up some rights in the policy. Now, if there are two beneficiaries, it would go primary, then contingent. So contingent is second in line, so that if the primary beneficiary were to predecease the insured or die before the insured, then the contingent would be next in line for the death benefit. Now, the final beneficiary on a life insurance policy will be the insured's estate. So, if no beneficiary is alive or none listed on the policy, then the death benefit goes to the insured's estate. If it goes to the insured's estate, that death benefit is fully taxable to the estate. This is the only time a death benefit is taxable. That is a very important concept that you need to know for your test. Next, we have the common disaster provision, also called the Uniform Simultaneous Death Law. This provision will assume that a primary beneficiary died first in a common disaster with the insured, even if that was not the case. The whole purpose of this provision is to protect any contingent beneficiary that might be listed on a policy, and it preserves the wishes of the insured that they are passing their estate onto their heirs tax-free. Next, we have minors. Now, if a minor happens to be the beneficiary of a policy, the death benefit would not go directly to the minor. It would either go to the guardian of the minor or the trustee of the minor, and the guardian and trustee could be the same person. So this is also the only time a death benefit does not go directly to someone is when it is a minor. Next, we have the mode of premium payment. The word mode means frequency. How often are premium payments made? Well, all premiums are based on it being paid as an annual premium once a year, but not everybody can afford that. So depending on the mode you choose, you're actually paying more money. So some people might choose semi-annual over annual, but they're actually paying more money for that than they do for an annual premium. Some people choose quarterly, you're actually paying more for that than you do semi-annual or annual. But most people choose monthly. But monthly, you're actually paying more for that than you do any of the others. So you will have test questions related to the mode and what happens to the premium. And so you do need to know that annual is the least expensive mode. Next provision is the grace period provision. It prevents a policy from lapsing due to non-payment of premium. Usually a 30-day grace period for individual life, 31-day for group life. So if you didn't have your premium payment and you have a 30-day grace period where your policy would stay in force. Now, if you happen to die during the grace period and you haven't paid your premium, they would still pay a death benefit to your beneficiary. However, they will deduct that premium that you still owe them. Now, after your grace period has gone by, if you haven't paid your premium and it was a term policy, then your policy would lapse and it would go away. But I will show you in a moment how to get it back. Now, if you have a permanent policy and you get down to the end of your grace period and you haven't paid your premium, then our next provision comes into play called the automatic premium loan provision. It helps prevent the unintentional lapse of a permanent policy due to non-payment of premium. So what would happen is at the end of the grace period, instead of the policy lapsing, what they'll do is they will just take that premium payment from any cash value that you might have in the policy. So now if you continually use the automatic premium loan and deplete your cash value and it goes down to zero, then at the end of your grace period, no cash values left, then your policy would lapse. That's why we have our next provision called the reinstatement provision. So after a policy has lapsed, you can get it reinstated, but two things have to happen. Number one, you must pay any back premiums plus interest. And number two, you must prove insurability. Now you have up to 3 years to reinstate a lapsed policy. The benefit of reinstating a lapsed policy, because I know that seems like a long time, 3 years, the benefit of doing that is that by reinstating a lapsed policy, your premiums would be based on the issue age of that policy, the date that it was first issued, as opposed to your attained age, how old you are right now. Next, we have a policy loan provision. Now, the policy loan provision is only found in your permanent policies that contain cash value. Okay, you can't take out a loan from a term policy. Now, the insurance company can charge interest on outstanding policy loans. You are not taxed on a policy loan because you're just borrowing your own money. If you die before the loan gets paid back, the insurance company will deduct that loan balance from the death benefit because they still want that money back. Next, we have the incontestable provision. The period of incontestability is 2 years for life insurance. During the first 2 years, they can always deny a claim because of statements in the application. However, after 2 years, they cannot deny a claim because of any statements in the application. They got to catch it within the first 2 years. Next is the assignment provision. The word assignment means transfer of owner's rights. Okay, that's really your definition I want you to have. Transfer of owner's rights. There are two ways that owner's rights could be transferred or a policy assigned. First, there is an absolute assignment. An absolute assignment is a complete and permanent transfer of all rights in a policy. One example would be like when my child turned 18, I could transfer all rights over to them. They could start making their own decisions. Or another way that we learn about is a viatical settlement. Viatical settlements are third-party contracts where the insured has a terminal illness and they do an absolute assignment of their policy over to a viatical company. And in return, the viatical company gives them a percentage of the face amount. So that's a complete and permanent transfer of all rights in a policy. The other way owner's rights could be transferred or assigned is a collateral assignment. This will be a partial transfer of rights for a period of time. So if, for instance, I go to the bank to get a loan, but the bank wants more in trade than I have, I could use my life insurance as collateral on that loan. What I would do, I would transfer partial rights over to the bank while I've got the loan out. That way, if I die before the loan gets paid back, they're allowed to collect the amount I owe them, and then my beneficiary would get whatever's left. Once I pay off the loan, all rights would transfer back over to me. Okay, so if you see somebody going to a bank to get a loan, collateral assignment might be one of your answers. Suicide provision. Now, suicide is excluded during the first 2 years a policy is in force. If the insured were to commit suicide during the first 2 years, it would not pay a death benefit. However, it would return any premiums to their beneficiary. However, after a policy has been enforced for 2 years, if they were to commit suicide, it would pay the entire death benefit. And the misstatement of age provision. Now, this misstatement of age provision is included in a policy. It trumps the 2 year period of incontestability because even after 2 years, as long as a policy is in force, if the insurer finds out the insured lied about their age on their application, they're not going to deny a claim. What they are going to do is adjust any benefit they pay out based on the premiums that they've been paying that whole time. So they're not going to deny a claim. It allows them to adjust the benefits. All right, now we're moving on to policy options. There are going to be three sets of policy options. The first ones are called non-forfeiture options. Now, non-forfeiture options are only included in your permanent policies that contain cash value because that cash value cannot be forfeited. If you decide you don't want your policy anymore, you would have these three non-forfeiture options available to you. First is called cash surrender value. Next, we have reduced paid-up insurance. And next, we have extended term options. So let's look at each one of these. First, cash surrender. The policy owner simply surrenders the policy for the current cash value at a time when coverage is no longer needed or affordable. So you surrender your policy and they send you your money. Next is the extended term option. Under extended term, the insurer uses the policy's cash value to convert to term insurance for the same face amount as the former permanent policy. So let me give you an example. Sylvia has a whole life policy with a face amount of $150,000 and a cash value of $10,000. Sylvia quit paying her premium and neglected to pick a non-forfeiture option. The insurance company will automatically give Sylvia an extended term option and use the $10,000 of cash value to buy Sylvia a term policy with a face amount of $150,000. The length of the term insurance will depend on how much time a $150,000 policy for $10,000 will give Sylvia. So the main thing you need to know is that it's going to be a term policy with the same face amount. Next is the reduced paid-up insurance option. This is where the insurer uses the policy's cash value as a single premium to purchase a completely paid-up permanent policy that has a reduced face amount. Here's your example. Jason owns a whole life policy with a $300,000 face amount and cash value of $25,000. Jason is tired of making premium payments, but wants to continue some sort of coverage. Jason chooses to select a reduced paid-up non-forfeiture option. The insurance company takes Jason's $25,000 as a lump sum payment for another whole life policy, which will have a reduced face amount of $75,000. Jason will never have to make another premium payment, and his $75,000 whole life policy will remain in force until his death or age 100. So on reduced paid-up, what I need you to remember is that cash value is being used to purchase another permanent policy with a reduced face amount. All right, so very important here. A couple of things, let's recap here. I'm going to tell you a couple of things I want you to know. On your non-forfeiture options, you have three. Talk about what can I do with my cash value. First, you could do cash surrender. where you surrender your policy and they send you your money. Or you could use the cash value to do the extended term or the reduced paid up option. On extended term, the cash value is used to get a term policy that has the same face amount as you had in your prior permanent policy. On reduced paid up, you are using that cash value to purchase another permanent policy with a reduced face amount. So you're going to have some test questions I need you to be able to answer about these two. First one is going to be, which non-forfeiture option provides the highest amount of protection? And the answer you want to pick is extended term. Next, which non-forfeiture option provides coverage for the longest period of time? And in this case, it'll be the reduced paid up. So make sure you know for your test, one's the highest and one is the longest. Next set of options are going to be dividend options. Now, dividend options are included in all participating policies. Participating policies are policies that are issued by your mutual companies. So that if a mutual company, like Mutual of Omaha, let's say, makes a profit, then they're going to share that with the policy owners in the form of a dividend. Now, two things I need you to know right away about dividends on these participating policies. Number one, dividends are not guaranteed in a policy because if they didn't make a profit, there is no dividend. Next, a dividend is also not taxable. And the reason it's not taxable is it's considered a return of any unearned premium from the year before. So those are two things very important about your dividends, not taxable and not guaranteed. All right, here are your different dividend options. First is a cash payment. That's pretty easy. Send me my money, tax-free. So if Mutual of Omaha has a $200 dividend for you, they send you your money, and that money is tax-free. Your next dividend option is to reduce premium payments. So in this example, if the policy owner usually pays an annual premium of $1,000 and the insurer declares a $100 dividend, the policy owner will only pay $900 premium for the year. So under the reduce the premium payments, it just reduces next year's annual premium. Next is called the accumulation at interest option. This is where the dividend stays at Mutual of Omaha and accumulates interest. Now, the dividend is never taxable. However, the interest in this option would be taxable as it is earned. Next, we have our paid up additions option. Paid up additions, I want you to think adding to your death benefit. You're going to increase the death benefit of the original policy by whatever amount the dividend would buy. So let's say under paid up additions, that Mutual of Omaha has a $200 dividend. You say, I want to use it for paid up additions. Then that $200 might buy you, let's say, $1,000 of paid up insurance. So now, instead of a $100,000 policy, you have a $101,000 policy. So paid up additions, you're adding to your death benefit. Let me go down to the one-year term option because it is very similar to paid up additions. Because you're going to add to your death benefit, but it's in the name of it here. You're going to be adding what type of insurance? Term insurance. And it's going to be on your policy for how long? 1 year. Okay, so 1 year term option. So let's kind of use that same dividend that Mutual of Omaha has, $200. If we use that $200 for 1 year term insurance, that same $200, that same $200 dividend, might buy me, let's say, $5,000 of one-year term insurance. So for the next year, I have a $105,000 death benefit. After that year goes by, I go back down to my $100,000 death benefit. So on the one-year term option, you're adding term insurance, but it's only going to be on there for a year. And the last one is the paid-up option. This is where you're going to use your dividend plus all the interest plus the policy's cash value to pay out the policy early. So not really worried about that one for your test, though. All right, so there are your dividend options. Lastly, we have settlement options. Now, settlement options are all about the death benefit of a policy, how that death benefit could be settled or taken by a beneficiary. Now, settlement option could be chosen by the insured when they take the policy out, but if they don't choose one, then the beneficiary can choose which one of these they want. And these are very similar to our annuity options that we talked about a few chapters ago, as far as the payout. This first one, though, is a cash payment. Okay, that is a lump sum payment to a beneficiary. If the death benefit is paid out in a lump sum, the death benefit is tax-free to a beneficiary. Now, if they choose any of the other methods for the payout of the death benefit, then there will be interest attached. Okay, so the death benefit would not be taxable, but the interest would be taxable. So next we have interest only. Now, interest only is going to be a temporary option, so you don't have to choose how you want that death benefit to get paid out right away. They'll just pay you the interest. It's the only option of your settlement options here that conserves the principal. They're not paying out any death benefit right now. They're just paying out the interest. Next is fixed period installments. This is where you're the beneficiary and you would choose the period or how long you would want that death benefit paid out to you. If you choose a period, that means the insurance company is going to choose the amount of each payment because they're going to figure out the interest that will be attached to each payment. Fixed amount installments, this is where you, the beneficiary, would choose how much you would want each payment to be. If you choose how much each payment is going to be, then the insurance company is going to choose how long it's going to get paid out. Because once again, with interest attached, it can be a little bit longer. And then we have our life income options, single life. We have our joint life, which is payments for two people. They stop after the first person dies. Joint survivor, payments for two people, but they don't stop until after the last person dies. And then a life with period certain. That's a life income for the beneficiary, but a period certain for their beneficiary. All right, some other options on your death benefit here. There is the accelerated benefit option. Now, this is if the insured were to get diagnosed with a terminal illness and death is expected within 2 years, then the insurer can accelerate the payout of the death benefit to the insured so they can get it while they're still living. Accelerated benefits are tax-free to the insured. Now, the insured, if they do have a terminal illness, can take out up to 100% of the death benefit tax-free. Now, however, what if the insured gets confined to a nursing home? Maybe they don't have a terminal illness, or maybe they get Alzheimer's or dementia. Well, then under the long-term care rider is really what this is called, then the insurance company can accelerate the payout of the death benefit to them for their long-term care needs. Now, only up to a certain percentage of the death benefit would be tax-free in this scenario. They could take out up to 100%, but usually like up to 75% is going to be tax-free because they could still live for a few more years. And then lastly here, we have exclusions, aviation, war, military, dangerous hobbies or occupations, or if you're a felon and you rob liquor stores and you get shot by the cops, they're probably not going to pay. All right, so now that is going to be your chapter over policy provisions, options, and riders. Now, go onto your simulator and do some practicing and start working on your bulleted definitions.